Welcome to the Microsoft Dynamics X in Azure session. Like they say, early birds catches the worm. So kudos to you for waking up early on Thursday. So we're going to go catch some worm today, hopefully. So before I get started, let me just have a show of hand. Who's heard of Dynamics X before? Who's currently using or implementing Dynamics X? Or any other kind of ERP solution. All right, cool. That makes it easy. So obviously, this talk is going to be geared towards a lot of Dynamics X related information. But I think it's also going to be very, at least, informative to those of you who does not know Dynamics X, because we're going to be sharing the lessons we've learned by deploying Dynamics and running Dynamics X in Azure. Hopefully, we'll share some of that lesson learned to you and be very beneficial to you as well. So we have a lot to cover. My mind is full of content. So I apologize ahead of time if I just kind of goes everywhere, bounce from a topic to another topic. So I apologize ahead of time, because there's a really, really a lot of good stuff that I want to share with you guys. But I will try to stick with this agenda, OK? First, we're going to talk about X 2012. So for those of you who haven't heard of Dynamics X before, X 2012 is our current on-premise version of our solution. The latest is X 2012 R3 CU9. We have, I'll get into the detail of that. X7 is the next version of our product, which has not been released yet. So can I have a show of hands who's heard or seen X7? All right, few of you, but all right, I'll make this a treat for you guys. So I'll actually show some X7 during the session, so you guys will get a sneak peek of what X7 is like. So after we talk about how we take advantage of Azure in 2012, we're going to move on to in X7, how we take it to the next level, how we just release the real power of Azure in X7. And then we're going to talk about Azure Machine Learning. Obviously, we're going to have to hit all the buzzwords. But in this case, it's actually a real-life story that we're going to share with you guys to see how one of our customers taking advantage of Azure Machine Learning and integrated that into Dynamics X. Lastly, we're going to talk about cloud-based integration with Dynamics X, both on 2012 and on X7. Over there, we're going to be focused on things like, okay, if you're hosting your solution on-premise, how you do like a ground-to-cloud type of integration. Also, how do you expose your web services from your on-premise ERP solution in a secure way and expose that for a mobile application to consume? So like I said, lots of content to cover. My mind is spinning. I'll jump from topic to topic, so please bear with me. All right, let's get started. All right, so just to set up the background context, traditionally, we've always been running our ERP solution on-premise, right? Bigger companies spend millions and millions of dollars every year having their own data center, hosting their own solutions in their own data center. That's very costly. They have to maintain a huge IT team. Dynamics X 2012, all previous versions, is no different. Before 2012 R3, most, if not all, our solutions are being ran by our customers on-premise in their own data centers, all by their hosting partners in a private data center. As we move forward, as we put Microsoft and actually the entire industry put more investments, make more investments towards cloud and the advancements that has been made in recent months or years, I think the CEOs are prepped and the companies are welcoming the idea of actually running ERP solutions in the cloud. So focusing, that's why, because the market is asking for, hey, I heard this cloud idea, I think it's pretty good. It's going to save me some money that I can spend on some other things. So how about running Dynamics X in Azure? We say, great, we'll give it to you. That's why we have certified Dynamics 2012 R3 in Azure. I think about a year and a half ago. So this slide, I'm just going to cover some really high-level benefits. I'm pretty sure you've seen this. Just like with any solutions or applications that you are moving from, you're doing basically a lift and shift from on-premise to Azure. These are the main benefits you'll get. Cloud computing. I don't think there's a lot more I can say on that because it's just so easy to deploy VMs on Azure, right? And then the scale at which Azure is operating their data centers is amazing. I think that we are doubling compute and storage power every 6 months. We have one of the beefiest, most powerful VMs in the market, the G-Series G4 Godzilla. it's 32 core, half terabytes of RAM, over 6 terabytes of SSD. It's as a powerful machine as you can get in the cloud. So Azure definitely give you the computing power, to say the least. I'm sure you've heard this one a lot. Elasticity, being agile, turn on the stuff you need. But let's put it in the context of running an ERP, right? Traditionally, when you run an ERP, how do you size stuff? Or any solution for that matter. You always talk to your customer, hey, what's your peak volume, right? So if you're talking to, like, say, a tire manufacturer, say, what's your peak volume in the winter when everybody is buying new tires? Well, you guys probably don't have this problem in Australia, but in Seattle we do. So you obviously size your ERP system, your SQL, your middle tier, all based on the peak volume, right? Oh, guess what? The computing power you paid top dollar for will sit idle 11 months out of a year. So that's not very cost effective, right? So the power of Azure comes in where you can actually have machines like G-Series machines sitting on there, but you can turn it off when you don't need them and turn them back on when you do need them. And then we're gonna anchor that elasticity and agile perspective in the context of Dynamics X later in the slide. Ease of deployment. I mean, it's literally, I don't know if in the States we have this office store called Home Depot. When they have commercials, it's like this big easy button. So it's not that easy, but it's pretty much with a couple clicks, you will be able to deploy a Dynamics X, a demo machine or dev test machine, even a production HA environment. I'll show you guys a demo later on how we deploy a Dynamics X dev test and production environment with literally a couple of mouse clicks. And for those of you who's been into being a pre-sales engagement with Dynamics X or pre-sales engagement for that matter for any type of solution, it always takes you maybe days, even weeks to set up a demo machine, right? In case of Dynamics X, well, literally click, one click, you're done. You get your machine, demo machine up and running within hours. Okay, security compliance. Microsoft Azure is making a huge, huge monthly investment just to be able to comply with international policies and procedures as far as security, privacy, continuity, and compliance is concerned. So by deploying to Azure, you're taking advantage of the infrastructure level investment Azure is making. Yep, so Microsoft 2012 R3 is absolutely certified and supported in Azure. So it goes without saying, we are riding on the back of, on the shoulders of Azure. So I always like to show this slide. Azure has data centers, operating data centers all over the globe, right? There's 19, the orange ones are the 19 that's currently operating. There's the two in the middle is the ones that are actually currently building under construction in India. There's two more in Canada that's not on this picture. I mean, if you look at some of the statistics here, like I talk about, right? Doubling the compute and storage every 6 months. We have G-Series. We have 24/7, 365 support. Just to put it into perspective how big each one of these data center is. American football field, right? You can park, I don't know, 8 jet planes on American football field, and each one of these data centers is 16 times that single American football field. So that's how big and humongous these data centers are. So talk about hosting models. This is a very generic topic, right? If we look at the hosting model, traditionally people are being hosting stuff on their own. So this is the traditional model where everything from networking to storage to server virtualization all the way up to the application level, the customers are hosting on-premise on their own. And then this is one end of the spectrum. At the other end of the spectrum, we have a SaaS model, right? Services like Office 365, where it's a subscription-based service. You don't have to host nothing. You just pay a monthly subscription fee, and then you're done with it, right? We take care of the entire stack from top to bottom. The next is the PaaS model, where you know things like Azure SQL. It's a platform. We take care of OS. We take care of the application. You take care of your data. Then it's the IaaS. Most likely, when you migrate your on-premise solution to Azure or other cloud providers, that's most likely what you would do first. That's like an intermittent step, right? Lift and shift. Lift your solutions that you're running on-premise and shift it to a couple of VMs that's running and deployed in Azure. And that is exactly the model Dynamics X 2012 is running. So we basically take what we used to deploy in a private data center and we host it on Azure. As you know, we just deploy machines and deploy our bits on those machines. So we're running SQL Server on a VM on Azure. We're not using Azure SQL. So there's a big difference, right? Azure SQL is a pass in the sense that if I'm using Azure SQL, I don't care about managing the database, doing backup, restore, all that, right? I just know there's a database connection stream. I'm connecting to it. I'm deploying my bits and data in there. Versus running a physical SQL server is I'm deploying a VM. I actually have to log on to the VM, run the installer for SQL Server, and have that running, right? That's using Azure as IaaS. So let's put it in the context of Dynamics X. So there's two ways of running Dynamics X. Right? Traditionally, that's on the left-hand side. That's the on-premise option, right? You're hosting everything on your own. Over here, it's the IaaS model, where Azure actually takes care of deploying the VMs, but then someone still have to go onto the VM and install the SQL Server, install the AOS, install the clients, install the RDS pieces, and all that. So you can do the manual setup. You have to procure hardware. You have to set up the networking, set up the all this fun stuff. Takes money, takes time. And takes effort. That's where we come in, right? So we actually have built a service. We call it the Lifecycle Services, LCS. Have you guys heard of LCS? Okay, a few of you. Yep, I can give you some people ask, wait, you guys are using Azure. It's already a service Microsoft is offering to deploy VMs and do VM management and all that, right? So why are you building another service on top? Well, the reason why we're building another service on top is because a lot of these services, installing like SQL servers, SSRS, analysis servers, and the right amount of system diagnostics and configuration that's specifically to the way we query data, we use data, we write our SQL queries is very different, right? So there's absolutely a lot of room for the ISVs in the room to build value-add solutions on top of what Azure is already offering, just like what we did. I'll actually show you guys a demo of this is what LS looks like. It's lcs.dynamics.com. I'll actually show you guys a live demo of this. So the goal is LCS would help you to be more predictable. It gives you tools and services so that you can automate your process. And then hopefully you can deal with your problems in a proactive way. These are the different roles that's involved in the ERP, typical ERP implementation. This is a typical iterative CRP type of conference room pilot type of methodology. We give in each phase and for each role, we actually provide you with a full line of tools and services to help you to be productive, predictable, automated, and proactive. But how is this related to Azure? Well, let's concentrate on the automated piece, right? We talk about manually somebody can actually go, even without deploying stuff on-premise locally, somebody can go to Azure, create a VM, start installing Visual Studio and SQL Server and all that, right? But it takes time. What this does, the automated process does, is literally with a couple of clicks, we take care of all that behind the scene. You don't have to worry about installing anything on your own. So it actually takes the lower hanging fruit from the ecosystem. So we'll take care of the basic deployment. And then the partners and the customer, they can actually concentrate on bettering their business process and business logic to reap real benefit to their business. So exactly, that being said, exactly what's going on behind the scene when we deploy a Dynamics X 2012 in Azure. So when I click that deploy button, what do we deploy? Before we can talk about that, I want to talk just a little bit, just to give you guys a little more context on Dynamics X. I'll talk just a little bit at a very high level, the architecture of Dynamics X. So it's a three-tier ERP solution. We have database tier. We have the application tier, which we call the AOS. AOS stands for Application Object Server. And then obviously we have a client tier. Client tier for Dynamics X 2012 is a Windows 32 client. It's a very rich client. It has a lot of business logic, validation, transformation, a lot of business logic that's embedded in the client. And also there's business logic embedded on the server. So let's bring it, that's a very high level architectural thing. So if we look at this entire picture, let's start with the left-hand side, which is our client, right? Traditionally, people access Dynamics X with things like terminal services or Citrix. You can see here, we're deploying with Azure Remote App. There's actually a couple sessions this week on Azure Remote App. PM Eric from Microsoft is actually giving those two sessions, which is basically a SaaS offering to kind of hide some of the complexity of hosting RDS servers behind the scene, and then you can expose your applications running on the server as a remote app. But I digress. Like I said, my mind is bouncing everywhere. So let's see, from the client side, right, I'll use, say, things like Azure Remote App to access Dynamics X. This Azure Traffic Manager is, a SaaS offering, where this is more for like a disaster recovery type of scenario. In your normal operational hours, the traffic manager will direct you to your main operational site. But in case there is a disaster, it'll automatically redirect all the traffic. If you have a DR site set up, it'll automatically redirect all the traffic to your DR site. So we deploy that as part of our deployment. The Azure Load Balancer, since we are running stuff in Azure, traditionally you would have a network load balancer if you're running stuff on-premise. We're running stuff in Azure. Azure Load Balancer will just basically balance the level 4 network traffic. You have the Azure Remote App. You potentially can have Azure Remote App, or we basically have two different options as far as how you access Dynamics X. You can either deploy RDS server on your own, which we support, or you can either deploy Dynamics X as Azure Remote App. So that's the Azure piece that we have incorporated into our deployment. And also you'll see these VMs here, and you'll see those two VMs in the box. You'll be like, oh, what is all this about? So first, let's say, how many tiers are we looking at here? So over here, more people over here, I'll do over here. So this side, on the rightmost side, that's the SQL tier, right? That's your data tier. And in the middle, that's your application tier where you have the AOS, what we call AOS, right? It's our application server in the three-tier architecture. That would be the middle tier. And then we have our EP server, Enterprise Portal Server. It's for like a web portal, right? So I said, one of the client that connects to Dynamics X is the rich Win32 client. The other form is the web client, which actually hits our EP server. And then obviously full reports and cubes, when you want to do slicing and dicing, you go to our SSRS and SSS server. And the reason why we put it, you see a toolbox within two machines within the same kind of rectangle, is that rectangle represents what we call in Azure a availability group. What that means is for basically for HA, high availability. So imagine you have two AOS, just one AOS server. If that AOS server goes down, then well, your business stops, right? So you don't want that to happen. So basically, we deploy for your HA topology, we deploy at least two VMs for each tier to make sure your business is up and running all the time. Availability group is an Azure concept. Basically, it makes sure your machine is being placed in a different fault domain, an upgrade domain. So when one machine gets bring down during upgrade, the other machine is guaranteed to be up by Azure. Okay, that's most of the pieces that has to do with Azure. Feel free to ask questions, by the way. So we don't have to wait until then. We can get this interaction going. Oh, great. Let's do a quick demo on exactly. Enough talking. Let's see some live demo of how exactly we deploy. Out. Okay. So for those of you who have not seen AX, that's Dynamics 2012. Looks pretty. That's my role center. Just to give you a quick overview, you know, this is the navigation. It's very familiar Microsoft interface, like Outlook type of interface, where you can navigate account receivable, payable, general ledger, product information, basically your the slew of ERP functionalities that you're all familiar with. And actually, right now, this VM, as you can see, is running on Azure. So I'm actually accessing a VM that's running in Azure. That would not be the normal way how our end customers will be using this. They'll be most likely using it through a remote app, right? You have to either host your own RDS servers, light it up through RDG, a remote desktop gate, and then publish Dynamics X as a remote app, or you take advantage of our new Azure Remote app option and then use the SaaS offering. But either way, you'll be not directly using RDP to log on to this VM, but since I'm doing the demo, that's okay. So how exactly are those environments deployed? So this is Lifecycle Services, for those of you who have not seen it. Basically, I create projects, and let me go to the project I've created for Dynamics 2012. You'll see under environments, I mean, because this topic is really geared towards Azure, so I'm not going to cover too much on Lifecycle Services. But as you can see here, we have lots of tools that can help you with to being productive and all the goodness that we've covered. But let's refocus back on the environment piece. So let me just show you real quickly the deployment experience. I promised it's going to be a big red button. So at the end, you will see a big red button. Just kidding. So different topologies. We have demo. Demo is, think about, you know, a pre-sales guy coming here, create a pre-sales VM, boom. He travels to Brisbane. And he started drinking beers. And I realized, oh, shoot, my demo machine's not working. I actually need to do a demo to the customer tomorrow. What do I do? Oh, wait, I know LCS went to that session, the Paul Wu guy mission, and I can actually deploy a VM like that. So, okay, I'm half drunk, but I can still go there, click, 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 I can click, right? So tomorrow morning, you'll be able to have a VM. Literally, you will have a VM ready to go to do your demo. Okay, dev test is, so let's just get in dev test. It's a little bit more interesting. You can basically have different topologies. One topology is each developer will have his own machine. That one machine, we call it the one box setup. You have all tiers on that one machine, SQL Server, AOS, and client all deployed on that one machine. Or if you have cost constraints, you don't want to buy that many SQL Server licenses for your developers, you can do a development with a shared SQL Server, which means you say you deploy 5 developer machines, but they will only be sharing 1 SQL Server. But each developer actually have their own databases. We don't recommend sharing the same DB while you're developing. You know, it's the same server. If I have 5 developers, I'm deploying 5 different Dynamics X databases for each of my developer. So that's development. But the most important is, obviously, the HA topology for production. I was actually just working with a customer, an Australian customer, this week in Brisbane. They have recently deployed, they haven't gone live yet, but they have recently deployed their production environment through LCS. As a matter of fact, all their development is done on top of the machines that we deployed in Azure. So they're running their development, they're running their testing, they're running their pre-prod, staging, production, everything in Azure deployed through LCS. So as you can see here, I can specify how many, in case of database, we can't really specify how many because this is a 3-tier architecture, right? We are only working with 1 DB instance. So you can't really scale out on your SQL Server, right? When you talk about elasticity, scale out and scale up, right? Scale out is adding more instances, and scale up is beefier up your CPUs and your RAM. So in SQL, because we only work with 1 data store, so we can't really scale it up. But the reason why you say C2 here is because we actually deploy a SQL always on cluster to guarantee the HA, right? That's what you see C2 here. AOS server, obviously, it's something you can pick, how many AOS servers you want, and so on and so forth. In advanced settings, you can say, I'm getting my image from a custom image, or it's a gallery image published by Microsoft. The real interesting thing here is you can either deploy your environment to an existing domain or a new domain. So why is that interesting is, well, most of the time when you lift and shift your solution from running on-premise to Azure is maybe you only lift and shift part of your solution to Azure. The rest of your solution, and guess what, your JD, that old financial software, is still running on-premise. So you still have to do some integration, a bank reconciliation, integration, or you know, some files that you have sitting on-premise that you need to access. So you are able to actually deploy Dynamics X 2012 into Azure, into your existing domain. And the way you would be able to do that, because if I were you, if this is the first time I'm hearing that, I was like, wow, that's how do you do that, right? How do you deploy a VM in Azure to your existing domain that you have hosted on-premise? So notice we also have this customized virtual network. So one can actually go onto Azure, create a virtual network, and establish what we call a site-to-site, basically a VPN connection, or express route, depends on your requirements on the bandwidth. That basically set up a VPN connection from your on-premise network to Azure. And then you can extend your on-premise network domain to Azure, so you will be able to actually deploy your Dynamics X 2012 into your existing domain. Okay, that's all cool. But so I have my HA instance deployed last night. I literally did it last night. Just click, click, click. As you can see here, the 2 SQL Server is deployed here, AOS server and all that good stuff, right? So what about elasticity, you ask? How do I say, you know, the winter comes, the tire store that you were talking about need more application servers. What do I do? All right, so I go to my cloud hosted environments, and I choose the HA deployment I had. I say edit. It's as simple as just a couple mouse clicks. Guess what? You want more AOS server? Sure. How many more do you need? Let's add 5 more. Business is good this year. So you will be able to do, let's just put 5 here. There we go. And you can scale out on all these different tiers, right? So that's how you achieve elasticity. And guess what? If you don't want that many LS servers running off-peak, you can obviously just go. If you notice, when I went to my 2012 environments, the HA environments that I've deployed, you can actually stop the VM right there from LCS. Oh, there's nothing preventing you from going to Azure and stop the VM there, right? So this button is never to be clicked, because in production, it actually stops the entire server. So you don't want that. Okay, so that's a quick demo. I think I covered most of the things. I'm already behind, so let's switch to. I'm just so you guys know, I'm a little behind, so, but that's okay. We'll catch up. So, these two slides just say the, wow, look at that, awesome animation. This is just to keep make sure you guys are actually awake, to show you some, give you guys some eye candy. Really not that much on these two slides. It's a marketing slide. We're making a lot of investments, and we're gaining a lot of traction already. You know, since we started doing this, already 12,500 plus machines has been deployed into Azure. There's already a customer live. This is public, Pet Supply Plus. They're running Microsoft Dynamics 2012 in Azure. They're in production. Live store running this on Azure, which is great, fantastic. I was actually there 3 weeks ago visiting them. They're very happy. All right, that's 2012. Now the real exciting stuff. Are you guys ready? X7. I see that gentleman just very good timing, coming exactly right on time for X7 discussion. So architecturally, what's changed? Not really. We're still talking about an ERP, right? So it's still a three-tier architecture. You still got your database. You still got your application server. You still got your client. But in this case, the client is actually a very thin client. It's a web browser. So you can run it on your phone, run it on your tablet, run it on whatever. You can even run it on Apple. I did not say that. We have done some architecture re-architecting so that it will make it easier to run it. Instead of for example, the AOS tier, the middle tier, instead of running it as a Windows service, now it's running as a web app. So it's hosted in IIS. So let's actually get into the details. I'll show you guys how X7 looks like. But what does that mean as far as deployment? What's so different behind the scene, right? So now that we've covered kind of high level, what's different? You'll see, since it's still a three-tier architecture, so pretty much still the same. We still have the traffic manager guy redirecting traffic to say, are you operating? If not, we're going to DR. We still have the load balancer here, balancing level 4 network type of traffic. And notice the Azure Active Directory here. The authentication, instead of doing authentication against a locally hosted Active Directory service, we're actually authenticating against AAD, Azure AD, which is fantastic, because when you're doing integration with other SaaS or other applications, especially when you do mobile integration, it's so nice to have a centralized authentication mechanism that flow. You can just flow that token from application to another application. If you would have done this, I'll cover the integration pieces later. You'll see the how easy it is to do integration with Dynamics X7 now. Obviously, you have the Azure App Gateway, because we're running a HTTP-based, a browser-based client application. This is the level 7 load balancer. It pretty much just balances the HTTP requests. The big change here, instead of using SQL as an IS, we're actually using Azure SQL, which is great. Elasticity piece comes into play. HA, DR, you don't have to worry about it, right? So if I'm a current customer deploying Dynamics X 2012, this is great. I'm using Azure as IS. But guess what? I'm deploying SQL Server into Azure, although LCS is deploying it for me. But I still have to worry about always on. I still have to worry about, OK, I need to create my backup vault. I need to back up my stuff every day, back up and restore, right? I need to have to worry about that. But it was Azure SQL, no, Microsoft takes care of that. We guarantee the SLA, we guarantee HA, DR. Everything is taken care of behind the scene. Right? That's the power of Azure. So SQL piece is SQL Azure. AOS now is running as a web app. SSIS, a management reporter, it's still there. It's just a couple of DBs we deploy on Azure SQL. For those of you who are using the retail solution, the retail server now is also deployed as a web app on IIS. I'll be talking about Azure-based application lifecycle management, ALM. So the way we do builds and publish builds, we take advantage of the Azure Blob storage, and we'll publish build on the Azure Blob. So a lot of great Azure pieces, really native integration into AX7. And obviously, this is the ASR, Azure Site Recovery, for your disaster recovery type of scenario. This will also, when you deploy from LCS, will also take care of it. It's just going to be an option to say, enable ASR for my deployment. Done. How fantastic is that? I mean, if you've done ERP implementation or any kinds of implementation for a large-scale enterprise-grade company, DR is, HA is absolutely, it's what keeps you up at night if you're an IT person, right? And this, we just kind of take care of it behind the scene. All right, let's talk about Azure-based ALM. You guys will have the deck available, so I know this slide's over here, it's more for your reference. The entire story is, we talk about in X2012, we can deploy the dev and test machines for you, but for X7, which absolutely takes it to the next level. We can deploy dev and test, but when we deploy, those dev machines actually will be linked to Visual Studio Online, VSO, where you will be checking in your code. And as part of the dev test topology, we'll also deploy a build machine. That's where it's nice, because in 2012, you actually have to configure build script and do all that funky stuff. Over here, on the build machine that we deployed, it magically knows where your source code is. It does daily builds. It runs your test. We give you a nice, fantastic dashboard where you can get insights into your how many tests is run, what's the failure rate, what's my bug burn down charts. You can manage the entire implementation with VSO, Visual Studio Online. All right, this is just a fantastic integration, fantastic story for application lifecycle management. And then we also give you the capability of now you're doing the build, your developer is checking code into a VSO. VSO is linked to a build machine that's cranking out build every day. Fantastic. Right? But how do I move code from, say, the build machine to a test environment where my test users can come in, my functional users can come in and test? Well, we actually give you the capability of creating what we call a deployable package, which is a build. From LCS, you can actually deploy a deployable package into an environment. So I create an environment in LCS. I can say, you know what? Pick this ISV's package, pick my build, deploy into a box. Next morning when your functional users come in, when they're doing their conference room pilot or UAT, they can just come in and start testing away. And see, and then if whatever they find, they get the feedback to the developer who makes a change, the change flows to VSO, gets built, deployed. You see that cycle just gets through, and everybody can be super productive because we have shifted your, we have knocked down the lower hanging fruits, shifted your attention and your energy so that you can concentrate on implementing real business logic instead of worrying about bill, worrying about deployment and all that, right? Definitely a productivity enhancer. So these topologies we talk about, these are other topologies we support. And I kind of briefly talk about the deployment as well. These slides are more for your reference in the future. And this piece we touched as well, but I want to talk about it specifically to X7. So for X7, when you deploy, we provide you with three available topologies to deploy with: small, medium, and large. Very convenient. Small is for 100 users, medium is for 500, large is for 1,000. So the big difference between these is if you see a small topology you're deploying, all your, it's still Azure SQL underneath the hood, but all your database, like the XDB, the Management Reporter DB, the all the DBs is being deployed in a single instance of Azure SQL. That's for the small topology. For medium topology, as you can see, each one of these databases is actually deployed into their own Azure SQL instance, right? Small, one instance, medium, separate instances. And one notable thing here is also we're taking advantage of this read-only secondary in Azure SQL. What that does is it's fantastic. When you hear it, if this is the first time you hear it, you'll absolutely flip. So I'm expecting some flips in the room, unless you've heard it or have heard it before. What it does is Azure SQL is smart enough to say, if this query you're issuing is a read-only query, guess what? Don't hit my production instance. Hit my read-only secondary. If this query is only read-only, you don't even select, you're not going to change that out. We're going to redirect that traffic towards the secondary read-only instance. And this is all done behind the scene by Azure. So to our application developers, there's no work. So to us, we don't have to do anything to enable that. And underneath the hood is actually just the always-on cluster to keep the primary and secondary replica in sync. And then when I do a read-only query, Azure automatically directs the read-only queries to the second instance. Well, I'm going to flip. That's just too exciting. That's so great, man. Because we talk about, right, the tradition of the bottleneck of ERP solution is database. Right? If you have performance issues, it's that database. Because it's just a monolithic thing. Everything goes through that database. You can scale it up, but there's a ceiling of which you can scale that thing up, right? With the secondary read-only instance, you can actually kind of, this is kind of our scaling out story, right? Because in the sense that all the read-only stuff is goes to the secondary instance, and we pretty much get this for free. How great is that?
How old is that read-only database? Is it synced or is it?
I'm sorry?
So, well, you've got a live database, you've got your read-only database.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference in timing between
the Yeah, like I said, this read-only, it's not only minutes. It's literally there. This is not a new technology. It's a SQL always-on cluster where you're setting up synchronization between your primary replica and your secondary replica, so they're guaranteed to be in sync real-time. And they're, that's a good question because they're actually deployed into the same Azure data center. It's not, you know, versus, say, a SQL cluster, your always-on cluster that you do it yourself, that lives in a different Azure region for DR purposes. So this is actually the same data region, always in sync. It's great, it's fantastic. All right, so for large, it's pretty much the same topology if you compare the two, except for we're just running the large topology on a beefier DTU, on the beefier Azure SQL. So for this medium, we use P3. Plus or minus, and for large, we use P11. All right, so let's see some demo. X7. So you have not seen X7 before. Ta-da! This is X7, as I promised. Browser-based ERP solution. And this is actually deployed in the US. So there might be some slowness when I'm interacting with this, because I'm doing this across the Pacific, right? I'm just trying to lower your expectation.
Can I ask, when is this coming out?
It's coming out earlier next year. Yes, first quarter, hopefully. So very similarly, we call this the hamburger button. Click the hamburger button, you get your navigation. You see the similar stuff, ARAP, general ledger, manufacturing, all that good stuff is here. So let's go to the same page we're looking at. So let's go account payable, and let's say, let's see, receivable, let me see a list of all my customers. I don't have to remind you this is coming from US. That's pretty snappy, right? Let's see a workspace. Fleet management, where's my fleet management? Can go to my recent tab, reservation management. This is what we call a, whoa, ignore that. A workspace, it reloads. Hey, it reloads pretty fast, huh? Where we actually display a lot of BI information. You can see I haven't hooked this up yet, but we do have integration with Power BI. That's possible. This is the new visual indicator we've added. We call it this API. Really, you see this performance is actually pretty snappy coming from the US. You can do cool things like, you know, slicing and dicing my data differently, and, you know, and all that cool stuff. So how do I deploy that? So I just go back to my lifecycle services, LCS. I go to environments, and then I say, plus and then you can say I'm deploying either on Azure or locally. Locally means you can't really run X7 locally yet in production. It will become available. It's not going to be available in the R1 release, but it'll come post R1. Basically, that will be built on top of, I'm pretty sure they have a session this week on Azure Stack, which is Windows Server 2016. So X7, if you plan to run X7 on-premise, it'll be released on top of Azure Stack. Basically, it's something that you can take Azure and run it in your own data center. So pretty familiar things here. You can, all different topology that's available. So if I pick high availability, you can see we have different sizes here, small, medium, large. Let's pick large. A lot less things you can tweak because we're a web client now. Notable things here, again, you can set up VPN, right? So you can extend your on-premise domain to Azure, deploy to an existing domain, so that piece is also there. Application gateway settings and all that good stuff. And when you're done setting your stuff, one click, next, put a name in here, Ignite, oops, can't spell, Ignite, check, and next, you're done. Within hours, you will have something like this, where you can just click into, and no longer do you have to, you know, go to your remote app or whatnot. You just come over here and say, logging. Now, when I click logging, watch the address bar, okay? Okay, no, this doesn't happen. It did not happen because I'm already logged into a different session. But the performance is still pretty good. What I was trying to show you guys is actually the authentication piece, which I'll go into it later. We actually have a slide on that. But yeah, that's just the way you actually deploy X7 in Azure, HA. Very nice experience, very similar to 2012. But the thing that actually we take care of behind the scenes is quite different, right? We're deploying Azure SQL. We're deploying web app, AOS as a web application and all that. All right, that's a quick demo. Now we're going to switch gear. I also need to, next topic is machine learning. And since I've been just doing talk, I've decided I need a break. So I'm going to play you guys a video.
At JJ Foods, we know that running a successful restaurant is a demanding job and our customers are busy people. Which is why we go to great lengths to make it easy for them to deal with us. We can predict what they need to order and we personalize every customer's experience. Not just with recommendations of products they have ordered before, but with new things selected specially to suit their menus. With 60,000 customers, 10 years of order histories, and some complex mathematics, we can be surprisingly helpful. We know that restaurateurs spend little time behind the desk, so we have responded with a mobile app that has the same predictive features. You can place your order literally in seconds and get straight back to what you are doing. Behind the scenes, we have created a different app to help our drivers. With just a mobile phone, they know what to deliver, when, and where. It's all automated. Many of our products are temperature controlled, so we have added Bluetooth sensors to our trucks, and via the driver's phone, we receive real-time data for our whole fleet. The customers don't see this, they just know that their orders arrive fresh every time. Our drivers print invoices after the customer has signed for their goods, so we have eliminated invoicing errors and subsequent credit notes. This saves a lot of time for our customers and for us. We could not do any of this without Microsoft Dynamics AX at the heart of our business and Microsoft Azure in the cloud. Together, we are reshaping the way food distribution works, enabling our customers to have more time to delight their customers.
Wow, what a great story, right? Have you guys seen this video before? Cool. Okay, let's switch back to slide deck. So, Azure Machine Learning. JJ Foods video, we've seen. Just to put this into context, let me just walk really quickly what their business process is and how they integrated Azure Machine Learning into their business process. Like Mustafa was saying, they're a food distribution service, probably the largest in the UK. They've been in business for the past 26 or 30 years, and they've been a Dynamics customer for the past 10. So I don't know if you noticed, there's a little blip when the video was showing. They have their website where their customers, you know, the restaurants and whatnot, they're placing their orders, buying stuff. They have Dynamics running as their, you know, the back office ERP solution. So they have a web front, they have Dynamics X in the back. In the middle, they have the decision management tool. They have a decision to make. So let's look at what decision they have to make. Customers log on to the website. The first decision is, AX has the product information, but what type of product do I display to the customer, right? That's the first decision. Okay, now I present the list of product to the customer. There comes the second decision, which is, what product is the customer like most likely to buy, right? Because I have all my historical data. That's where Azure Machine Learning comes in. I can run the data through my machine learning models and come up with this. And then thirdly is, when the customer sees, he logs in, he sees a list of product he usually buys, he puts it in the basket. When he checks out, based on the items he put in the basket, what are the other items that he or she most likely to buy, right? So that's the third decision that he has to make. So there's absolutely, and one point I want to make is, just to make it relevant to those of you who's not running Dynamics X, is this Dynamics piece can be replaced by X application, right? Can be replaced by any application, can participate in this process of taking advantage of Azure Machine Learning. So let's talk about decision management for a little bit. Traditionally, decision management has been implemented in code, most likely typically in the form of a rule engine. If this, do that. If this matches, do that. Constraints and all that. Yeah. We've all been there. We've all done that. So where Azure Machine Learning comes into place is actually it can augment these existing rules based on Azure Machine Learning predictions. And then it's going to turn your predictive analysis to prescriptive. So the difference between, so there are basically the three types of analysis, right? It's the descriptive, just describes, right, how many likes you have on your Facebook. That's descriptive. Predictive is to take data, look at the data that you have and make predictions and generate the data that you don't, right? That's predictive, prediction. So once the next level is where we're trying to be is prescriptive in a way that, okay, based on the predictions that I've made, how do we make this prediction more actionable and have the necessary feedback loop to get our decision makers where they need to be, to get our decision makers to their desired destination. So the goal, obviously, is to transform automated business process to an intelligent one. So, okay, machine learning is great, but why use Azure ML? Well, it's easy, right? That's what they say, a sixth grade kid can do it, just drag and drop, boom, you publish, you're done. Well, not really, because it's a little bit of a marketing exaggeration. But for the data scientist in the room who's already used to working with machine learning technologies like R, like Python, we actually absolutely support those type of development methodologies for machine learning type algorithm. And also, most likely during a kind of normally implementation, what happens is you have data scientists in one side, you have your developers in the other side. The data scientists, they speak R, they speak Python, right? Say, hey, here's the machine learning model, go, developer, go, make something happen. The developer is like, wait, I'm expecting some APIs that I can call into. I don't know this R, this Python stuff, right? So Azure ML actually connects those two. It bridges those two. It's not a far-fetched idea. Somebody from some basement, sitting in the basement, can literally source huge amounts of data somewhere in the cloud, right? Fit it into an Azure machine learning model that we hosted, right? Take advantage of the computing power behind the scene, and then actually publish it as an Azure machine learning app. You know, a whole bunch of web services you can consume, and then host it in Azure Marketplace and make money out of it. It's definitely, the end-to-end scenario we have hosted here is definitely a big stimuli, in my opinion, to the data-driven application market, to the data science market. There's a lot of scenarios Azure is enabling right over here. Open up a lot of doors for ISVs to build and consume this data-driven type of application. So specifically in Dynamics X, though, apologize, I'm running over time, but I'll wrap up really quickly so we have time for some questions. But I do still have 15 minutes, so I'm going to keep talking. So you see here the six blocks here. These are Azure machine learning apps, each with a different algorithm: customer classification, basket prediction service, frequently bought together, blah, 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 and customer churn. These two on the left-hand side, the orange one, are they all orange? These two on the left-hand side, it's the one that we actually wrote for JJ Foods. And the rest of the red ones are the out-of-the-box ones, that the pre-baked ones that Azure offer as an application. And the top four has been integrated into Dynamics X. The bottom two is, you know, they just use it in their web front. So just at a very 10,000 level, how does this work? We have Dynamics X sitting in the bottom, right? And we have huge amounts of historical data with which you can train your Azure machine learning model. So you harness that data whichever way you would like. In the case of Dynamics, all the data goes through LCS. And then you put it into Azure Data Factory, ADF, right, where you train your data, run the data through a pre-baked or the Azure machine learning model you have created. And then you fit it to the Azure Marketplace, where you expose a set of web services, which is then, again, consumed by your local application. That finished the loop, right? I have the data. I publish it. I fit it to some model. Azure machine model cranks up the algorithm and give me a suggestion back. And the way I can access that prediction is through a list of web services that's published by Azure. So that completes the loop and bridges the gap between a data scientist and a developer. Right? Hopefully you guys can see the benefits here. All right. Cloud-based integration, we're near the end here. So for 2012, that's what we do. You can see lots of moving pieces here. Since this 2012 is on-premise, you see a firewall here. Everything Dynamics related is running behind the firewall. We have a ADFS here. ADFS stands for Active Directory Federation Server. That's it's kind of handling the authentication redirection through a service in Azure called ACS, Access Control Services from Azure. And we're also using Service Bus to do the Service Bus relay. So there's the steps. Authentication steps. So you have a mobile application that I want to integrate with some web services that I publish with Dynamics X. First, I'll talk to the ADFS. ADFS, since ADFS is linked to my on-premise AD, it's going to get a token back from on-premise AD to say, okay, this guy is Paul and he is from Microsoft. There's his identity. That token, mobile application will take that token and talk to Azure ACS. Azure ACS, since there's a trust relationship between Azure ACS and the ADFS, so Azure ACS also knows the token that I just give it to it is a legitimate token, right? So, and then it gives me another token. There's two tokens involved here. First token is used to access AX. The second token is used to access the web services endpoint we have exposed through Service Bus, right? So therefore, I'll use the second token issued by Azure ACS to access that integration service endpoint exposed through service bus. Service bus authenticates me, takes that token away, and then carry over that first token I got, XAML token I got from ADFS, authenticate it against the backend Dynamics X server, and that completes the authentication loop. Phew, that's a lot. That's why it's a little bit harder to do integration, mobile integration with Dynamics X12, just because when you write that mobile application, there's a lot of hand-holding, handling the token, handling the expiration date, refresh that token, all that you have to manage manually. But for X7, we use Azure AD. That just hugely simplified things. You can use all the available pre-baked authentication libraries to manage your token, and you can flow that token to all the other SaaS offering that's also based on Azure AD. Things like CRM, Office 365, and a slew of other applications that can authenticate against Azure AD, right? And I was going to show you, remember I was telling you to watch out for the address bar. What I was going to show you is when you hit an X7 URL, if this is the first time you hit that URL, it's actually going to redirect you to Azure AD. So Azure AD is actually the one who's doing the authentication. If you're authenticated against Azure AD, then you would Azure AD will give you back a token. You can use that token to interact with X. And that's it. And then the next logical question would be, well, wait, I'm running my domain and my local stuff. I'm already hosting my domains on-premise, and I would like to own that domain. So why would I, again, create the same set of users, say, Microsoft.com, Powu? Why would Microsoft.com go to Azure and create the same exact user on Azure AD again? That's not nice, right? I have two sets of users I have to maintain. That's costing me. I don't want to do that. Well, we have a solution for you because what we do is you can actually do a directory sync, is what we call it. So you can actually keep your on-premise AD server in sync with AAD. That all happens behind the scene. Only one time setup, link them up, and you're good to go. And there are also powerful scenarios where you can set up SSO. Again, it's based on ADFS, where imagine you're a user, you logged into your corporate laptop. You would expect the same experience across 0365 and X7, right? In 0365, if you have used SSO, you logged into your corporate network, you open up your web page, you don't have to log in again. Same exact experience happens with X7 because the same exact authentication happens with X7, takes place in 0365, and all that good stuff. So as far as integration is concerned, we expose 2012, we only expose SOAP-based web services for you to interact with. It's not very modern. We can build a light, very thin shim layer on top of that to kind of simulate a RESTful interaction, but it's not native. But in X7, we actually have native support for SOAP as well as REST, and we actually expose all our data entities through OData feeds, and that just enables great, great integration scenarios with Power BI, right? I don't know if you guys are familiar with Power BI. If you have a OData feeds, you can just hook it up to Power BI. Power BI is going to query that. You can filter that. You can pivot that. You can create all sorts of wonderful, wonderful charts that your CIOs and CEO will love. It's just absolutely great, mind-boggling, amazing, amazing integration scenarios that we enable on top of X7. And the key is most of these scenarios you can do on top of 2012, but with 7, it's just so much easier and simpler. And then since we do REST, you can also interact with the Azure App Services, which is if you're familiar with BizTalk, Azure App Services is the cloud version of BizTalk. It's a SaaS offering that you can use to do your ESB, your Enterprise Service Bus kind of scenario. So since we are cloud compatible, so integration with those technologies is just going to be super easy. Okay, that brings me to the end of my presentation. I'm sorry I kind of eat into the Q&A time, so if you guys have any questions, feel free, and we can also talk after this session. It can be X related, can be Azure related, can be anything. I might not have all the answers for you, but I'll try. Yes?
With the AX on cloud, it's cloud hosted, right? So it's cloud hosted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does the client have control about AX updates?
Okay, the question is, since you're hosting AX in the cloud, it's cloud hosted, how does update work? It's a very good question. For X 2012, unfortunately, because we're IS, so you, your IT guy will still have to log on to that VM, apply updates manually. But then LCS, we have an update tool. Actually, it will make your update experience much more easier and simpler. You can do an update analysis and see how much conflict you have and all that. So, but short answer is, yes, somebody still have to manually go in there and update your AOS instance, right? Whatever the update might be. But for X7, for R1, the experience is still similar in the sense that we'll give you code packages, and then you still have to apply it to your environments on that VM. So somebody still have to log into that. In the sense, X7 is not a full-blown SaaS offering, right? If it's a full-blown SaaS offering, I don't have to take care of any of this, right? The provider should be. X7 is, in the case of update, we're not there yet. But the goal is absolutely post R1, that's absolutely the direction we're going to, in the sense that since we already are managing the VMs for you, we might as well apply hotfixes for you as well. But as you all know, Dynamics is such a flexible and customizable solution. Customers in ISV build all kinds of customizations on top of our product, which makes it harder to do upgrades and patches and hotfixes. But that's definitely the direction we want to go. Yes?
Yesterday I attended a session on Xamarin.
Yes.
So in Xamarin they say that the iOS devices won't be supported on Windows. So what's your take on that? So let's say I make an app, my namespace is Lora, the iOS namespace is Lulu.
Yes. So the question is on, basically a mobile question. How do I develop mobile applications on top of X7? There's some questions around Xamarin from yesterday's session, whether it'll be supported for iOS. So the mobile story, obviously, for first release, R1, is going to be browser-based, right? So you can open it up in the browser, but if you want to do what we call a companion mobile app, right? You will not be able to run the entire ERP solution in a mobile application. That's just not feasible. But you will be able to write companion apps, like for somebody like me who travels quite a bit, who needs to log expenses, right? I need an app for that. That's a great example for writing a mobile application. And you can actually interact with, let me go back to the previous slide, conveniently located right here. The old data, right? That's where the old data piece comes into play. You can use Xamarin, you can use PhoneGap, you can use, it doesn't matter what external app, mobile development environment you use, but that mobile app is going to sit on top of this old data feeds, and the interacting with X7 is going to be all through this old data. There are specific questions of whether Xamarin will support iOS. I don't have the knowledge or insights to that, but as far as developing a mobile application in X7, we definitely made it so much more easy. Yeah, maybe we can follow up after this. Yeah, but Xamarin should, if you're using Xamarin, technically you should take care of all that, but it's something we can definitely talk after the session. Yes? Did I see a hand up over there? Oh, yes. Yeah, unfortunately, there's one piece I didn't really get into, is the enterprise grade piece, where, like you said, right, a lot of these analysis, when you train your machine learning model, most likely your data is going to be sitting on premise, especially for these large enterprise customers like a financial industry. So it's hard to persuade them to upload all that data, which is super, super important to them and core to their business, to ADF and run analysis there. For now, I have not heard a story of. I heard a story of you can source your data in SaaS, and then you can source the data from on-premise data source, combine them and run it. But the running still happens in the cloud. I haven't heard a story to take Azure machine learning on-premise yet. But I bet with the coming of Azure Stack, you will be able to run everything on-premise. Yeah, that's my prediction. Anything else? All right, thank you guys so much for coming and have a good one.